frequently think about and dwell upon becomes the shape of our mind. If we frequently think about and dwell within anxiety or within aversion, this does become the shape of our mind. And those patterns get very woven into identity. And in our exploration of sati or mindfulness yesterday, one of the things we touched upon is one of the greatest gifts of sati or mindfulness is really discovering that we do have the freedom to choose what we attend to and how we attend. So, this is a great teaching in this, that none of the patterns that we experience of distress, of struggle, none of these are predetermined. None of them are life sentences. You know, the mind-heart is very malleable. And we actually learn to cultivate and to practice that which actually serves our well-being and the well-being of others. And whatever we practice and dwell upon, we actually do get better at. You know, if we practice anxiety a lot, we get a lot better at it. You know? If we practice aversion a lot, you know, we just get a lot better at it. And I'm sure we've probably seen this in ourselves and perhaps seen it in others. But we also have that freedom to choose, actually, to really cultivate and dwell upon that which actually serves our own well-being, the well-being of others, most fully, most well. And this is actually not, this is a moment-to-moment investigation. It's a moment-to-moment investigation to have a sense, well, where is my attention dwelling just now? You know, where is my mind dwelling just now? What is being practiced? What is being cultivated just now? Recognizing every moment we are actually practicing something. And it becomes, you know, somewhat clear that we're either practicing habit or we're cultivating that which is kind of more conducive, more liberating, more awakening. This is why sati is always placed at the beginning of so many of the Buddha's teachings of awakening, because sati too is something we cultivate. You know, this movement from a kind of semi-conscious state to mindfulness. You know, a friend of mine, he speaks about this process of waking up in kind of neuropsychological terms, you know, and he speaks about the movement from unconscious incompetence, you know, to conscious incompetence, you know, to conscious competence. You know, and we seem to live for a long time, actually, in the conscious incompetence part. You know, we have sufficient mindfulness in place to actually know what's going on, and yet the pull of the habit patterns feels so strong that we can end up feeling like we're spectators upon our own disasters. And this is actually not something to resign ourselves to, by the way. You know, I'm a big supporter of acceptance, but acceptance is not resignation. Yeah? It's not something to resign ourselves to. It's actually a kind of wake-up call. You know, when we're aware of places of dissonance in our life, where there seems to be a gap between our values, our intentions and aspirations, and what we're actually doing. You know, that dissonance is actually also that creative classroom. And that classroom is really the place where we ask, what really is helpful to cultivate just now? And hopefully in what we think about and reflect upon today in terms of the supports of awakening, we get a sense of that landscape that's available to us. You know, what is needed just now? Is it more investigation? Is it more energy? Is it more joy? Is it more equanimity? You know, what is actually helpful just now to allow us to meet this moment with skillfully, with compassion, with understanding, rather than being defined by the world of conditions inwardly and outwardly. What I'd like to suggest today is we begin the day again with a sitting period and a walking period, just to really have that sense of arriving. I know many of you come here and you step out of very full, sometimes very demanding lives, and I know at the end of the day you step back into very full and sometimes demanding lives. And it really does take, it is really, I think, something quite special to really, really acknowledge and respect our capacity to find some stillness in the midst of all of that. But it does also take some reorientation, you know, to actually be really willing to put down the familiarity of the habit patterns of planning or ruminating or anticipating. And what is it like to just be here wholeheartedly present for the life of this body-mind in this moment? So let's take some time to sit, and again, just finding a posture of wakefulness, uprightness, balance, an embodied intentionality. Just sensing what it is to inhabit this body, this mind, this moment fully. To be here. Perhaps taking just one or two just slightly fuller breaths. And with each out-breath, sense of releasing any busyness, any agitation. A sense of calming, of arriving, of stilling. And collecting, gathering our attentiveness to establish mindfulness in the body breathing. Directing our attention. Settling our attention within the body breathing. Sensing the body of this moment. Sensing the life of an in-breath, an out-breath. Appreciating the felt sense of collectedness, of calming. being aware of where your attention is resting just now, where your attention is dwelling. Cultivating moment to moment that unification of body, mind, present moment. Through establishing wakefulness, simplicity, stilling. reflecting on today is the value of learning what it is to cultivate a collected mind, to cultivate this quality of unifying body, mind, and present moment, which is, you know, central in the development of mindfulness, central in the development of what we call a well-trained mind. You know, the Buddha was so clear in saying, you know, I know of no one thing that can do so much harm as an untrained mind. But then we know that for ourselves, actually. We know what it feels like to be at the sort of mercy of obsessive, ruminative, anxious thinking. But he also said that once understood, I know of no one thing that can be a greater friend than a well-trained mind. And I know the word training doesn't always land very easily with Westerners. You know, they think about boot camp or, you know. But this is not really what's being pointed to. What's being pointed to is developing the mind's capacity for a deep inner collectedness, the unification of body, mind, and present moment. And quite frankly, this is a great ally for us in the midst of all of the circumstances of our lives. So I would really like to encourage you to really hold this as a background intention in the walking period. When you go and find your walking path, you know, just to, again, not make a project out of this, but just a little investigation. Where are the moments where you have that felt sense of body, mind, present moment really being unified, integrated? And when does it begin to fragment or scatter? You know, where does our attention go that seems to be that fragmenting factor? And to really see what it is to come back again to that sense of collectedness and unification. To really value that, to appreciate that.